The United States Armed Forces Radio Service presents My Little Margie, starring Gail Storm and Charles Farrell. And now let's drop in on Margie and her father, Vern. It's Monday morning, and Vern should be going to the office, but instead, he's staying home. He was out very late the night before, and today he feels sick.
Oh, my head, my poor head.
Dad, you look terrible. Where were you last night?
Out with Connie. Oh, what a headache I've got.
Well, where did you go?
Oh, Connie found a club.
What did she do, hit you with it?
I don't know what hit me, but all I know is I've got an awful pain in my head. What should I do?
Get a pound of hard salami, a big dill pickle, and a jar of sour cream. Then eat it.
What for?
In 5 minutes, you'll have such a heartburn, you'll forget all about your head.
Oh, a lot of sympathy I'm getting from you.
Well, it's your own fault. You should know better than to carry on like that, staying up half the night, dancing like mad, exhausting yourself. Why do you do it anyway?
Oh, because it's a lot of fun. I'll just take a couple of aspirins and a...
Good morning, everybody.
Hello, Mrs. Odette. Say hello to Mrs. Odette's dad.
Likewise, I'm sure.
What's on your mind, Mrs. Odette?
I heard you weren't feeling well, so I thought I'd look in on you.
Oh, you're always looking in on us, through the keyhole.
Naturally. That's how I knew you weren't feeling well. And no wonder. A man of your age shouldn't overdo things.
Where do you get that age stuff?
She's right. Dad, how old are you anyway?
Margie, my age is my business.
Been in business a long time, haven't you?
Listen, my age has nothing to do with the way I feel. Why, I have the constitution of a 17-year-old boy.
Well, give it back to him.
Mrs. Odette, did you come in here to mock me or to help me?
Well, I'd like to help you if I can. Oh, I remember once my second husband wasn't feeling well, so he started taking shots.
Did they do him any good?
No, I found the bottle.
Dad, I don't think you'll need anything. You're beginning to look a little better.
Yes, you're right. I'm beginning to feel a little better, too.
Hi, everybody.
Correction. I'm sinking fast.
Freddie, please don't do anything to get Dad upset. He hasn't been feeling well.
I know. Mrs. Odette's phoned and told me.
I don't believe in keeping hot news to myself.
Well, the news has chilled a little. I'm beginning to feel better.
Well, that's just the time when you have to watch yourself. I knew a guy who thought he was getting better, and then all of a sudden, poof, he dropped dead.
Freddie, did you have a special reason for coming here?
Yeah, I knew you weren't feeling well, so I thought I'd come in and cheer you up.
Oh, thanks a lot. One more death notice, and I'll feel like a new man.
Dad, relax. Your face is getting flushed.
Margie, maybe you should take his temperature.
Never mind my temperature. Check my blood pressure. I think it just went up 20 points.
20 points, huh? When it gets to 30, sell. I pull that one right out of the air.
Well, put it back. It needs all the air it can get.
Well, I better be going, folks. I hope you improve, Mr. Allright, but if you die, let me know.
I wish everybody would stop trying to cheer me up.
Dad, all you need is a little rest.
Yeah, you'll be out of the house in no time.
I wish I could say the same thing for you.
Well, listen, Mr. Allright, why don't you just lie down on the sofa and be comfortable?
Well, maybe I should.
Attaboy. Margie, hand me the sofa pillow.
Here you are, Freddie.
Okay, Mr. Allright. Now just raise your head and I'll slip the pillow under it. That's it. Now lower it.
Oh, my head. Darn it, Freddie.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Allright. It slipped off. It's the pillow, not your head. There. Now it's in place.
The pillow, of course, not my head.
Are you comfortable now, Dad?
Oh, yeah. Oh. Just let me lie here for a few minutes with my eyes closed.
Come on, Freddie. Let Dad take a nap.
Wait, I'll pull the shade down so the light won't be in his eyes.
Freddie, be careful with that.
Don't worry. I'll just pull it down so he can doze right off. There we are, all nice and dark.
Freddie!
Don't worry, Dad. He's not hurt.
Just let me at him and he will be. Well, if that's all the appreciation I get, I don't have to stay here. You know, I can leave.
Dad, Freddie's right. There are lots of other places he can go and be insulted.
Sure. Sure, there are all sorts of places he can go, except to work. Why doesn't he get a job instead of hanging around making trouble?
Well, I could get a job if I wanted to.
Yeah, and I could climb Mount Everest with a broken leg.
Oh, yeah? You don't think I could get a job, do you? Well, you just wait and see.
Dad, he meant it. He's gone.
Yeah.
Glad to see you feeling better, all right. We missed you at the office today.
Oh, thanks, boss. It was nice of you to drop by. I sure had a miserable day.
Oh, it wasn't so miserable, Mr. Honeywell. He had lots of fun insulting poor Freddy.
Insulting Freddy, huh? Now, why would anybody want to insult that stupid little fathead?
Really, Mr. Honeywell, Dad's attitude toward Freddy is just uncalled for.
Uncalled for, is it? Well, any time he wants to call for it, I'll have it ready for him.
Joke about it if you like. But do you realize you forced him into a very awkward position?
Nonsense. He always stands that way. He's just too lazy to straighten up.
Well, despite what you say, he'll get a job. You'll see.
A job? That lazy kid? Why, one night he only dreamed he was working, and he was pooped for the next 2 days.
Margie, I wish you'd show a little more taste in boyfriends.
There's nothing wrong with Freddy, and he'll prove it to you, too. Instead of running him down, why don't you help him?
Hmm?
Can't you give him a job in your office?
What do you think I am, crazy?
Answer my question first.
Imagine me employing Freddy Wilson. Oh, no.
Well, let's forget Freddy, Mr. Honeywell. Come on into the den. I want to show you a letter I got from our Chicago office.
All right, lead the way, all right.
Go ahead. Be big shots. I don't care.
Hi, Margie.
Freddy. Did you find a job?
Sure I did.
What? You really did? You actually found a job?
That's what I said.
Wait till I tell Dad about this.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Margie.
Dad? Oh, Dad, come in here a minute.
But, Margie...
What is it, Margie? Oh, you're here again.
Dad, I've got great news. I told you Freddy would come out on top.
The only way he'll ever come out on top is when he gets bald.
Well, wait a minute, all right, wait a minute. Let's give her a chance. Go ahead, Margie, go ahead.
Okay, listen to this. Freddy found a job.
What?
Well, you heard me. He found a job. And in only one day, too. Makes you feel pretty small, doesn't it?
Well, gee, Freddy, this is good news.
And after all the things you two said about him, I think an apology is in order.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, Freddy, believe me, I... by the way, what kind of a job have you got?
Oh, I haven't got a job.
Huh?
You haven't got a job?
But, Freddy, you said you found one today.
Well, that's right, I did find one. But I haven't got it anymore, they fired me.
All in one day?
Well, it wasn't my fault. The foreman, a great big tough guy, started bawling me out. But believe me, I gave him plenty of back talk.
Back talk?
Yeah, I was on my back and he was talking. And to think that I almost apologized to this little jerk.
This kid gets fired even before he starts.
Well, I still have faith in myself. Faith that'll get me somewhere yet. Nobody's going to shake that faith. Right, Margie?
Oh, shut your face.
Will you please stop pulling my arm?
Freddy, this company advertised for a clerk, and I'm going right in there with you and see that you get the job.
Well, maybe I won't like it.
My goodness, you haven't any more ambition than a worm.
Well, I don't know whether I have or not. I don't know any worms.
Well, I know one. You. You humiliated me in front of my father, and especially after I went to bat for you.
Okay.
All right, then. March right in there, and I'll do the talking.
Naturally. You're a woman, aren't you?
Yes, may I help you?
This is Freddy Wilson. He's come to answer your ad for a clerk.
I see. Well, I'm the personnel manager. But if he's answering the ad, why are you speaking for him?
Well, you see... He doesn't like to talk about himself. He's sort of bashful.
Is that so? Are you bashful, young man?
Oh, yes. In fact, he once won a contest for bashfulness.
Really? What was the prize?
Who knows? He was too bashful to get up and get it.
Well, That's very interesting. Tell me something, Mr. Wilson. What are your qualifications?
Well, he has a very nice personality. He's very ambitious, a hard worker, and he's worked in an office before.
Go on.
And he's also very smart. He's won several contests working crossword puzzles.
Yes, but I want someone who can be smart during office hours.
This was during office hours.
Yes. What other experience have you had, Mr. Wilson?
Well, once...
Please, young lady, let him answer. I'm sure he can add something constructive to this interview.
Want to bet?
Well, sir, I once had a job as a night watchman.
Well, were you any good at it?
Yeah. Not one night was stolen while I was watching them.
Let's go back to her way.
Sir, all I can tell you is that if you hire Mr. Wilson, he'll be a tremendous asset to your organization.
The young woman, you've convinced me. You're extremely persuasive, and I'm very much impressed.
Well, you mean you're going to hire him?
Hire him? I should say not. He's a moron. I'd like to put you on our sales force.
Well, Margie's efforts to get Freddy a job haven't been too successful so far. Another day has passed, and although Margie isn't home right now, Vern is. And his girlfriend, Connie, is trying to persuade him to do something for Freddy.
Vern, sugar, why don't you give Freddy a job in your office?
Connie, he isn't cut out for business. There's only one thing Freddy can do. He'd make a great MC.
A master of ceremonies?
No, a mental case.
Oh, you're just stubborn. You could put him on at the office if you wanted to.
Never. Why, I wouldn't hire that kid if he were related to the most important client we've got. I wouldn't hire him even if it cost me my job.
You're pretty set against him, aren't you?
Well, it's a matter of principle. If I put Freddy in the office, I'd be a traitor to American business.
But somebody's got to give him a chance. Doesn't anybody want him?
No. Even his draft board sent him back with a note pinned to his chest. If this is dead, we don't want it. If it's alive, we don't believe it.
Hi, Dad. Hello, Connie.
Hi, Margie. My, you look happy today.
I ought to be. I just got Freddy a job.
I don't believe it.
Oh, it's true. Freddy starts tomorrow in Farley's Furniture Store. Mr. Farley's daughter, Jean, is a friend of mine. That's how I did it.
Hi, everybody. Margie, I came here as soon as I could. What's this important news you wanted to tell me?
Freddy, this'll make you very happy. I have found you a job.
Yeah. You have?
Yes. At Farley's Furniture Store, you start tomorrow. Well, what do you say to that? Dad, quick, I'll get him a drink of water and you rub his wrist till he comes to.
Margie, honey, is there anything wrong? You've been acting awfully downhearted for the past 3 days. Connie, somehow I feel I've made a mistake getting Freddy that job. I'm lonely without him around.
I'd be lonely with him around.
You know what I mean, Mrs. Odette. It was fun spending my afternoons with Freddy. But now that he's working, there's nobody to spend my time with.
But Margie, honey, you've got girlfriends.
Oh.
You can spend your time with them.
Oh, that's true. But it's really not the same.
It isn't?
This kid is younger than she looks.
And you know, there's another thing. For the past 3 days, the leftovers have been piling up in the kitchen.
I know what you mean. When he came around, he used to eat everything in sight.
That's right. And now there's nobody to get rid of the scraps.
Do you ever think of adopting a dog?
You know something? Lately, Ben's been acting like a grouchy old bear. I wonder if Freddy's absence has anything to do with it.
Well, I really don't see how it could...
Oh, Margie! Margie, where the heck are my cigarettes? I can't find anything around this joint. Oh. Oh, there they are.
Yes, in the usual place, right where they always are. Dad, is something bothering you?
Yes, I'm fidgety. Since Freddy stopped coming around, everything is going right. And I'm not used to it.
Well, so that's why you've been so grouchy.
Well, it protects a man's emotional health if he can blow his top once in a while.
And Freddy was my safety valve. In fact, he even looked like one.
Mr. Albright, don't tell me you're sorry he's gone.
Well, in a way, yes. He did make himself useful. He ran errands for me, answered the phone, bought cigarettes when I was all out.
Washed the car when you were all in.
Well, yes, he was a handy thing to have around. I hate to say it, but I miss the nitwit.
Me too. Why, Freddie and I had so much together.
You did?
Yes. I first learned about men from Freddie.
What?
Yes. When we were 3 years old, he pointed one out to me.
Oh, gosh, life sure is funny. Who would think that getting a job for Freddie would turn out all wrong?
Well, I guess there's no use crying over spilt milk.
That's right. It only makes it salty for the cat.
All right, I've got to see you right away.
What is it, Mr. Honeywell?
Our firm is faced by a crisis. Never before in the history of Honeywell and Todd Investment Counselors has disaster threatened us so completely unless we take immediate steps.
Immediate steps to do what?
To give Freddie Wilson a job.
Oh, no. Are you out of your little cotton-picking mind?
Albright, that's no way to speak to your boss.
I'm sorry. Are you out of your little cotton-picking mind, sir?
Now, listen here. Our biggest account is that millionaire Denver industrialist, Maurice Morton. And he happens to be Freddie's uncle.
So what?
Uncle Maurice just got in touch with me. Said he was concerned about nephew Freddie's future. And he suggested we teach him the investment business.
Really?
Yes.
Well, so long, Mr. Honeywell. I'll be seeing
you. Come back here. Come. Where do you think you're going?
I'm leaving the country before the crash.
Are you crazy, Albright? The stock market's up.
If we teach Freddie Wilson the investment business, it'll crash.
And if we don't put him on here, we'll collapse. Don't you realize that if we don't hire him, his Uncle Maurice will cancel his account?
Oh, but Freddie has a job. Why do we have to give him one?
Because working in a furniture store is certainly not going to meet with Uncle Maurice's approval. Now, the thing to do is to get Freddie to quit his job, so we can hire him. Do you think he can do it?
Well, leave it to me, Mr. Honeywell. It'll be a cinch to make him leave his job. I'm pretty much of a genius.
Okay. But just remember one thing. In case you fail, it'll be a cinch to make you leave your job. You see, I'm pretty much of a genius along those lines myself.
Now, don't forget, Margie, we've got to be subtle about persuading Freddie to quit his job.
I understand. If he finds out the real reason you want him in the office, he'll never do it. Freddie's not about to do you any favors.
I know. I can't understand that boy's attitude after all the things I've said about him.
It's not what you've said about him. It's what you've said to him.
Mr. Albright, you called and said you wanted to see me.
Oh, that's right, Freddie. Margie and I want to talk to you about something.
Well, I can only stay a minute. I've got to go to work.
That's just what we want to talk to you about, Freddie. Work.
Work. Slaving away in a furniture store every day. The drudgery of it, the pain of it, getting splinters in your little fingers.
Yes, colonial maple in one hand and Chinese modern in the other.
What's going on here?
Now think, Freddie, think. While other boys have easy jobs, you're working hard. The little roses will fade from your little cheeks. That happy little smile will disappear from your sweet little face.
Mr. Albright, I haven't been working too hard, but I think you have.
Freddie, Dad's opinion of you has changed for the better. He thinks you've really made the grade. And he'd like to offer you an easier job with Honeywell and Todd.
But I like the job I have in the furniture store. It's really great.
Well, how could that be? Do you have long hours?
Long hours? No, just 60 minutes each.
Well, what do you do there?
I demonstrate mattresses in the window.
Gosh, Freddie. You mean you just lay there?
Well, I turn from side to side every once in a while. But I try to keep that to a minimum.
Great bouncing balls of fire. If that doesn't beat all, he just lays there.
Mr. Farley says I'm the best boy he's ever had for the job. I'm just talented, I guess.
Freddy Johnny, this is funny. You're the only man I've ever heard of who can lay down on the job and get paid for it.
Well, I'd better be going.
But, Freddy, wait a minute.
Oh, sorry, Mr. Albright, but I don't have much time. I gotta get my pajamas and go to work.
Oh, Margie, you're responsible for this. You better think of something.
Albright, I was counting on you, but you let me down. I can't understand it. You told me you were a genius.
I'm sorry, Mr. Honeywell.
A genius? Only a thin line separates a genius from an idiot, and you've stepped over the line.
Well, don't blame me. How in the world can anybody get a kid like Freddie Wilson off a mattress?
Well, it's not only your fault. It's your daughter's, too. She's always butting in. That was pretty stupid of her, getting Freddie a job.
Now, see here, Mr. Honeywell. Don't you call my stupid daughter stupid.
Dad, Freddie would like to see you about a problem he's got.
Yeah, Mr. Albright. I wonder if you'd mind helping me. I just got a letter from the Income Tax Bureau. They know about my job, and they want me to file a return.
Well, naturally, you're a wage earner now.
Yeah, but look at all these forms they sent me. They want to know how much back taxes I owe and whether I'm making enough money to file a declaration of estimated tax. Boy, I never knew I had to go through all that.
Why, of course, Freddie. It's a responsibility of being a citizen. Somebody has to pay for our freedom.
Freedom? If he has to start making out those forms, he'll be chained to a desk for the next 6 months.
Yeah, just look what it says here. In order to itemize non-business expenditures, see footnote 1. Footnote 1, see Schedule B. Schedule B, see footnote 2. Footnote 2, see footnote 1.
Well, if you have any doubt about the answer, just ask me.
Any doubt about the answer? I don't even understand the question.
Come on, Freddie, read the rest of it.
Okay, let's go back to footnote 1. It says, footnote 1, see footnote 2. Footnote 2, see asterisk.
Asterisk? This train does not run on Sunday. See station master.
Cut it out, Margie. It's not funny. Boy, is this stuff getting me dizzy. I never thought my job would get me into this.
Well, Freddie, what do you intend to do about it?
There's only one thing I can do under the circumstances. Margie.
Yes, Freddie?
Call up the furniture store and tell them I just quit.
Well, Dad, all's well that ends well.
I feel like calling the Income Tax Bureau and thanking them.
Oh, don't bother thanking them, Dad. Just thank me.
Thank you? What did you have to do with it?
Well, Dad, you said I better think of something, so I did.
Yes, sir. That's my little Margie.
My Little Margie is a presentation of the United States Armed Forces Radio Service.